COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where's my Simba? As they were starting, we're going to hold the child up each and throw them at each other.
I was just clapping.
Why you did like this?
I was clapping because I thought you were trying to line it up.
Do claps like this. Witred! Perfect. That's it. We have the intro song. Sure. Done. I like this new seating. Thank you.
You're welcome.
How did you upgrade my chair to this comfortable general of a sofa?
You do look very comfortable.
This is a nice slot. I like this. You should get one.
I know I should.
You like these fancy looking things.
I
like
comfortable things. I think I'm going to upgrade our studio setup.
Really?
Yes.
Nice. What's wrong with it?
It's fine, but I think I'm ready to
change those. We never got a single 200,000 download on one episode,
so I could break that vase. Nobody wants you to break my vase. But I, you know, I heard something, and I think it's a good piece of advice or good words to live by.
Wipe your bum after you poop.
That's good advice, but that's not what I heard. Oh. What I heard is make one small change every day, or one, like a small change every time, to make it even 1% better.
Of what?
This podcast. Anything you're doing, anything you're starting new. It doesn't have to be perfect from the beginning, but just 1% change for the better
every week. How do you know if it's for the better?
Because I know if I do the change of setup, it's going to be better lighting. It's going to be better seating. It's going to be better cameras. It's slightly better. Not all at the same time.
None of those things are 1% changes. Those are all massive credit card changes I'm hearing in my head.
You just don't
cameras, lighting, don't seat, like 1% better is like do 5 minutes of research before you start the podcast to make it better.
I did that also.
The lights are not changing anything. It's the content that matters.
Also,
people listened. It's audio.
Also video. Welcome back to another episode of Sheena.
It's Tuesday morning. You're listening.
It's not Tuesday morning.
When they're listening, it's Tuesday morning.
Oh, we're back here. Okay.
Every time it comes out, it's on Tuesday morning.
Yeah, but we don't do the back to the front to the back to the front.
It's Tuesday morning, and I want you to reconsider your life choices.
You don't want them to be listening to our podcast?
This is no way to start your day.
I think it's a wonderful way to start their day.
Well, there's no energy.
I'm full of energy.
They're going to run at a very slow pace.
With you?
This is not PR goals today. Very zen today.
I'm ready to go.
I hope they're listening in their bed.
No.
Wake up, put on this podcast. Today's the ASMR edition. What does ASMR stand for?
I don't know.
It's the asthma edition.
Every time we sit down in these chairs, I don't know what's coming.
Me neither.
Like, I have no idea what to expect.
I'm very calm today.
I am
put
just
me in this yoga
as
chair,
you.
So I'm being very
Maybe
chill
I should
today.
Change your chair.
No, it's because I was battling.
What?
Illness.
Are you feeling better?
Yes. I was battling illness. I'm
Are
very
you
calm
like
now.
100% now?
No.
Are you 70%?
No.
80?
No.
Higher or lower?
I won't tell you.
Why not?
Just guess. When you get the right number, I'll tell you.
62.5.
There are decimals involved, yes. But not just to the 10th, to the hundredths.
62.56.
No, better.
Michael.
Better.
72.67.
Better.
99.99.
Worse.
87.72.
Worse.
80. This is stupid game.
I'm telling you, better or worse. I made it so easy for you.
83.95.
Better.
84.67.
Better.
88.92.
Worse.
This is such a dumb game.
You're so close. I wouldn't give up if I were you.
88.62.
Worse.
87.47.
Worse.
83.
No, you already said 84. I said better. You must remember your clues. Otherwise, you're going the wrong way.
84.2.
We said 84.68. I said better.
84.69.
No, this is going to take very long if this is the way you're going to go.
This is such a dumb game.
You give up?
Yes.
85%.
Okay.
I feel 85%.
You said there were decimal points in
85.00%.
You told me to the 10th.
Yeah, 0.00. 85.00.
You're so stupid.
If we started earlier, I would have told you 85.01, but I'm fading like the battery on my phone. 85.00.
Okay, well, thank you for joining us, even though you don't
thank
feel
you for giving
best.
Me this chair. Take my photo.
I will take
here,
it.
Here, take my photo. You always say, oh, you forgot to take the photo. So take my photo now.
Did I get it?
Yeah.
All right, so today I have an interesting topic. And I've been thinking about it a lot. And I think it comes in and out of all of our lives at various points. And I'm curious to see what your thoughts are on it, because we haven't spent a lot of time talking about your perspective on it. So I'm curious to know what you think.
About what?
Imposter syndrome. So for anybody that doesn't know or doesn't understand what this term is, it's this feeling of being a fraud in your profession, in your friendships, in your relationships. There's
oh,
some
like
sort
if
of
you're in accounting and you want to just cheat people for money?
No. Of not feeling good enough, of not feeling like you can cut it, of not feeling like your abilities are appropriate.
Like if you work in a bakery and they give you the baguettes, but you cannot make proper slices?
Sure.
Cannot cut it?
Not cut it, actually oh. Cut it.
Oh, in the editing room.
Oh my God.
What?
Do you understand what I'm saying?
No.
Yes, you do. Anybody that...
Oh, Stockholm syndrome.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Stockholm syndrome?
Yeah.
Also known as imposter syndrome?
No, it's like when you fall in love for the people that rob the bank and hold you hostage.
No.
Stockholm syndrome.
No. No. No.
Not that one.
No.
Okay. What if you're really bad
yeah.
at being a hostage? Then can you have imposter syndrome and Stockholm syndrome? Can you have imposter Stockholm syndrome?
No.
What if you take someone hostage but you can't get them to fall in love with you? Then do you have Stockholm imposter syndrome? It must be possible.
This is not what we're talking about today.
If you're a bank robber and you fail at winning the love of your hostages, then maybe they have imposter syndrome.
No.
Because they couldn't accomplish their goal, isn't it? They're just not fitting in at the task they were putting themselves up to meet.
No.
Isn't that how you just described it? Not like the guy who can't cut the bread at the bakery?
What?
Yeah. You're not following?
I don't think anybody's
no,
following.
No, everyone is following.
I guarantee you, nobody's going to raise their hand if I say raise your hand if you're following.
They will say, if they're familiar.
Okay, raise your hand if you're following this train of thought. I don't know how we got to Stockholm syndrome and imposter syndrome.
Because they're two syndromes. Talk about your silly people. I'm going to talk about my bank robbers. They have feelings too.
We're not talking about Stockholm syndrome. We're not talking about bank
robbers. We're talking about imposter syndrome.
We're talking about imposter syndrome today.
Yes, go ahead.
So it has nothing to do with bank robbers or
unless
Stockholm syndrome. Have you ever in your life, in your professional life, in your family life, in your friendship circle, have you ever felt imposter syndrome?
Yes.
Tell me about it.
Why would I feel that in my family life?
Some people feel in different avenues of their lives.
I suffer not from imposter syndrome. I suffer from poster syndrome.
What does that
when you make posters of me and put them around the house because I do such a good damn job. like a rock star. Poster syndrome. Bang, not enough posters. I'm poster material at home. Not imposter. I'm poster. Put me on the wall. That's the confidence I tiptoe around this place with. Particularly after spending 5 days in my room by myself being my own hype man. You were getting all worked up because you weren't able to, I don't know. What were you worried about this week? I have no idea. I was in the room. I was cool. I was chilling. Watched a movie. Watched a documentary.
You felt good about yourself.
Yeah, I made 2 posters. I'm poster. That's what you have to go. Go from imposter to I'm poster material. That's your goal in life. Is that a wrap? Is that good?
That's we should really just end, good we should
end the. Let's just finish the episode with this.
That's really, really good advice.
Yeah. So are you poster material?
Sometimes.
Okay, tell me the last time you were poster material and tell me when you thought you were not poster material.
I'll tell you the last time I felt like I was not poster material was this afternoon.
Why?
Like all day yesterday and all day today.
Why, you went to a laughing competition?
No, I didn't.
Singing competition.
No, I do feel it when I sing.
Yeah,
this is so annoying. I know, it's crazy, right?
It's illogical. I don't do well with illogical.
It's not illogical. This is a fact. I wanted to talk about it because do you know how many people suffer from this?
Yeah. Mariah Carey, Adele, Ed Sheeran. I know, listening to all of them, they all think they suck at singing.
Sometimes they probably do.
Yeah. Yep. And the rest of us are like, screw you, Edward Christopher Sheeran. I feel sorry for you right now,
70%. 70% of people have felt this at some point in their lives.
1 out of 5 dentists for sure feels it. He's like, how come I don't get it? All these other 4 know exactly what to do all the time. But me, I have no idea. I don't know why they put string in their mouth. I don't know why they brush at night. I just chew on a neem stick and they made me dentist. That one guy for sure suffers from imposter syndrome.
You're joking about it. But you know what's also crazy? More women feel it. More than men.
I didn't say it's a lady dentist. You said that.
No, I didn't.
You were saying the one dentist who's chewing on a stick is a lady?
I didn't say that. I said you know more females. You know your following
is very female.
I understand, which is why I chose this topic. Because more why females. Why
you chose me as a co-host.
More females.
Is not cooperating. Wait, please hold while I flirt with He's my camera.
He's sticking his tongue, his emoji tongue out. If you are watching on YouTube, you know what kind of atrocities are happening right now. If you are not, good for you.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
You won't see the engineer that slams the Nissan Rogue's door 13,920 times, or the corrosive chamber that simulates 15 years of life in 5 months, or the Rogue heat-baked for over 300 combined hours. What you will see is a vehicle that can take punch after punch and keep rolling. Nissan, number one in new vehicle quality among mainstream brands by J.D. Power. We put it through the worst, so you get its best. For J.D. Power 2025 U.S. Initial Quality Study Award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year. Newer models may be shown.
So what are you impostering? You're singing? That's really not where I would have started.
It's not where I'm starting. I'm just saying you brought up singing, and I'm telling you I have felt that. I have felt that in the past where my singing was
like when you're at the NBA Finals or at Thursday Night Football, you're like, these guys don't realize I don't know how to sing.
No, I don't think I felt
about
it then.
A couple of million people are about to realize. So when did you feel it singing?
I remember feeling a long time ago, I was invited to a corporate event and we were invited a few different...
Did you have to do the accounting?
No, I was singing. I had to sing and I was there with a few different groups.
I remember this.
And I didn't understand why they invited me.
Is that... There's a difference between imposter syndrome and...
It wasn't a lack of confidence and it wasn't intimidation. It was a, why
I think it was intimidation.
No, I felt I was nowhere near as good as the people that were there representing their craft.
As vocalists?
Yes. And I sang, and I think I did a great job. And when I went back and I looked at the tapes, and when I went back and I heard how it went, I took a step back and I was kind to myself. But I'm telling you, in those moments, I definitely felt like, why am I here? I'm nowhere near as good of a musician as these people are. And I know that there are people that were in my corner that encouraged me and that reminded me, no, you are good. But it's the point of it is, this is not a topic that's shared often. Yeah. And I'm here to share it. I'm here to say, I know that I'm a good singer most of the time. I know this fact. And still there are times where I don't feel good enough. And there are still times where I feel confused as to why I'm here being invited for this particular opportunity.
Not anymore.
That.
Because now you know, factually speaking, you know why. It's a mix of how good you are and how popular you are.
Yes.
And it's not only because you're a talented singer, because if you were based purely on talent today, I would even argue maybe that's just not enough.
Yeah.
Because there are many opportunities where you need to have some level of social engagement to assist that establishment with its own goals.
Right.
And we're realists. We understand that.
Yep.
All that being said, at the highest level, your following is a grain of sand compared to these organizations that you're participating with.
Yep.
And there are people with 10 times your following who also are in the running.
Yep.
And the only, just like my logical brain knows why you get invited to certain things,
yep.
That same brain says, but for your talent, you would not be here because there are people who are a lot more popular than you that would appreciate that opportunity and that spotlight.
Right.
But they need to be true to the art at that moment in time. So they choose you.
Right. And I thank you for saying that. And I think it's nice to be reminded of that every once in a while when certain, either you're not feeling comfortable in your skin or you're not feeling confident about something.
Whose skin will you feel comfortable in?
Why sometimes do people not say your that? Own, sometimes your own.
Can I borrow your skin, please?
No, you may not.
I'm itching in this one. I would like to wear yours. What are we, aliens, shapeshifters?
No, I'm just...
I don't feel comfortable in my skin. I think I'll go over to Lenny's house. Lenny, can I have your skin, please? I'd like to wear your skin. You try mine. Let's go for a walk.
You've heard this saying before.
Imagine I come home one day and you're like, ah! Like, oh, shit, sorry, I'm still wearing Lenny's skin. I'll be back. Imagine Lenny walking around his house.
In your
dancing.
Skin?
It's like, oh, shit, what's all this hair on my shoulder?
Okay, so can I say what I was saying?
Yes. It's me. Not Lenny.
I've lost it.
I imagine Lenny being a very calm guy.
Who is Lenny?
The guy whose skin I borrow sometimes.
Why did you borrow Lenny's skin? We don't know
He's
Lenny.
He's very calm.
Okay.
He has curly hair. It's a receding hairline.
Okay.
He sounds like this.
Do you borrow his hair too?
Yes, just the whole kit. Okay. Very comfortable in Lenny's skin.
Okay.
So you were saying?
I don't know.
Yeah, what don't you know?
I don't know what I was saying. I have no
You're
idea.
You're talking about being not comfortable in your skin singing.
Yeah, so thank you.
So
I was telling
you,
thank you,
you
for
sing.
Saying that. And I'm just here to tell people that sometimes you don't feel good about even things that you know you're good at.
So what about things you know you're not good at?
A lot of people have to struggle through that too, and then they have to fake it or they have to learn in real time to try to measure up. You're not going to be perfect at everything. You're not going to be amazing at everything, but sometimes the job is...
Speak for yourself.
The job is 10 things and you're good at 8 of them and you're not good at those 2. You have to catch up with those 2. So... Anyway, so that's the point. The point is people feel this. People really, they struggle with this. And I'm here to say that I've struggled with it and I wanted
with
to know.
With not being good at things? We're all not good at most things we do.
No, with feeling like an imposter in the things that I'm even good at.
I don't feel like an imposter at stuff I'm good at.
You've never felt like I know that I know this, but I'm just not feeling as good as the people around me or my abilities are not quite.
No, you feel it when you're not there yet. That's when you feel it. You feel it when you're in learning stage.
But what's there? Like, how do you know you've reached the pinnacle of your learning?
when there are people now looking to you for guidance and you're not looking to people for guidance?
I think you can always look to people for guidance.
You can always look to people for guidance.
I don't think you're always going to be at the top of your game. There's always somebody better. There's always somebody faster. There's always somebody more learned. There's somebody more...
That's not the question. The question is whether you feel like you have enough knowledge of the space. It's not, are you the master of the universe in that space, right? It's like, do you feel comfortable?
Okay, but if I put you against somebody who is smarter or somebody who has more knowledge, it's do you not feel about, that imposter syndrome? It's not a competition.
That's the thing. I think your definition has to be clarified.
Okay.
Are you competent is the question, not are you the best? There's a huge difference.
But even when you feel imposter syndrome, it's not that you're incompetent. You are competent.
Well, that's... No. Yes. You think you're not as competent. That's the difference. I don't need to be the best runner.
Yeah.
Okay? What you're saying is the people at the Olympics, the six of them that line up to go and race, the person who is coming, who's made it, they're the absolute fastest in their country, but they're working a full-time job because they don't have the same economic guidance that you have in many other countries.
Yep.
That person may lose this race.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm that person, I'm not feeling imposter syndrome. I have every right to be there.
Yeah.
I'm not the fastest of the six, but I'm still one of the fastest in the world.
Okay.
Right? So I have no imposter syndrome. I'm not the best. You can pit me against six. You could pit me against 60. I'll come 60th. But I know I have put in the work and I deserve that slot. So that's all I'm saying. When you get to a point in your professional career where more often than not, people are asking you questions.
Yeah.
And you're not asking them questions on how to solve things.
Yep.
And you get to a point where someone asks you a question and your instinct isn't, let me turn and ask somebody.
Yeah.
Your instinct becomes, let me think about this. What information do I need to resolve this issue? And who can I get that information from?
Sure.
That's the transformation that happens. And it happens in just about every profession.
Sure.
And when you start... You ask questions. You don't know.
Yeah.
The first time you're doing something, you don't know. The second time, you don't know. The third time, you're starting to get a little bit better. By the time you've done this thing so many times, 2, 3, 4, 5 years go by, you're doing different things. But at some level, you reach a point where you say, wait, in 5 years, no one's ever raised this topic with me.
Yeah.
Do I really need to ask somebody, hey, what do I do in this scenario? Or do I have the luxury of trying to solve this on my own?
I don't think that that's imposter syndrome.
Imposter syndrome is you're sitting there in year five.
Yeah.
Someone says something and you're in a room with five people.
Yeah.
Four of them immediately look like they know how to go resolve this. And you're sitting there saying, oh my God, I have no idea what to do.
Yeah.
And then your brain clicks in and it says, oh, maybe I should ask this person. Maybe I should do that. I kind of did something similar to this a long time ago, but I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's imposter syndrome. You don't think you're capable of doing it at that tier with other people.
I think that's one facet of it. I don't think that that's the only facet of it.
Okay, tell me, that's the definition I work with in the professional setting. So tell me the definition you're referring to.
So I think that there are many different aspects of this. There are many facets. There were two things that came to my mind when you were talking. One, I think that it's easier for men in these environments to just find that confidence, build themselves up, build their sort of understanding of that material, and then just say, okay, now I'm going to make this decision. I'm going to make this choice, and the people under me are going to listen to me. But I think that people, minorities and women especially, deal with this on a more permanent basis. I was talking to somebody today who's been in the space, in her space, for many, many, many years. She's very good at what she does. She's extremely knowledgeable. And I was telling her how sometimes I feel like I don't belong. I don't know what I've done to receive the seat at this particular table. And she said, but I feel like that all the time too. I do have moments where I feel this way. And I said, how? You've been in this for so many more years. You've been making decisions like this. You've been having conversations like this in rooms full of men. And she's there making those decisions. She's there having a voice and she's very educated, but she still feels it from time to time, like, Am I good enough to be here? Am I smart enough to be here? Am I strong enough to be here? Am I capable?
Good for her.
And she keeps showing up.
Yeah, part of the reason she feels that way is because she's looking around a room and she's not seeing very many people that look like her.
Right.
And that's not limited to women. It's limited to any situation where the person in the room doesn't see a lot of examples of themselves.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you don't feel it. I mean, it's good. I'm super happy to hear that this particular person continues to, you know, push through. And it doesn't change her voice. It doesn't change how she approaches things. It's just it's an internal feeling. It's exactly. A personal feeling.
Exactly. It's not, that's what I was trying to say. It's not necessarily, oh, I've been doing this for 5 years. I've gone through the motions. I know the routine. I know the habits. I know the answers. I have the knowledge. Yes, we may all have the knowledge. We may all have the examples over the course of the last 5, 6, 10 years, but we still sometimes have those internal struggles. We have those mental breakdown moments.
What do you say? You think she's crazy?
I thought she was, yeah. And she thinks you're crazy. I was so surprised. Absolutely. And we both had this moment where we encouraged each other and we said, well, you did a great job today. And she said, well, you did a great job today. And we said, it's good to know that other people are feeling this
because it's encouraging. You're factually qualified. Again, this is like emotional versus logical thinking.
Yes.
So I'm very low emotional thinking. I'm very high logical thinking. So even if I'm feeling something, I logically look at the situation and I say, logically, it makes no sense.
Yes.
For, I could be wrong, but logically, chances are I'm probably right based on my background, my experience.
Yes.
So your situation, you're emotionally looking at it. You're saying, so I feel uncomfortable.
Do you think that more men approach their situations from a place of logic than a place of emotion?
I think so. I think, like, generally speaking, when you're just having conversations, more often than not, the guys are the more, I don't know if it's left or right. What is it? Right brain, left brain, whatever it is. The guys are more logic. And again, big generalization, but at least in our relationship, I'm logic predominant and you're emotion predominant.
Do you remember ever feeling, logic aside, that your emotions got the best of you, your emotional side of your brain took over and said, I really don't understand what I'm doing in this position. I really don't know how I qualified to have a seat at this table.
I think my logical brain has said that. Like, I don't need the emotional side.
So your logical brain has just said, I'm just not experienced enough. And when I find more experience, I will
Or I've been put in situations and I trust that the people around me know better. That's the other thing that I've learned over time. Mm-hmm. I don't know my own potential at certain points. Mm-hmm. People who have been at it longer than you or have seen more, they don't have to be older than you. They could just be more experienced than you. Mm-hmm. They can put you in a situation based on the things they see in you. Mm-hmm. So they put you in that situation and they say, you will do fine in this scenario. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with your experience. You are actually inexperienced when you step into that role.
But they've seen some other characteristics, they some other traits,
qualities in you. So
they think is going
to
serve you.
Rather than say, why am I on this board? Why am I in this meeting? Why am I invited to this table? Mm-hmm. I say, I appreciate the opportunity to be at this table and let me bring what I think I can. Mm-hmm. To this table to earn that seat and to earn the trust. You could choose how you want to interpret it.
I do that as well if I can. I come from a place of humility and I come from a place of, listen, I'm here open-minded, open-hearted, and here's what I have to offer. Having said that, I have felt in those moments internally, mentally, I'm going through the laundry list of why I don't feel qualified to be there.
You're probably right. That's a thing I want to address. There's this misnomer that you're supposed to understand everything that everybody says in every situation, which is just, that's again, not logical. Mm-hmm. There are people in every scenario that have moments like that. You're going to start talking about something that somebody in that room has no idea about. Mm-hmm. And the idea of having you in that room is because you are going to bring some expertise and then you're going to be learning.
Right.
If there's somebody in that room that actually understands all of that, then why the hell are the rest of us in the room?
Right.
They don't need you. They don't need anyone. They do it by themselves.
Right.
We only reach out to other people when we need that additional expertise or we want to bounce some ideas.
Yeah.
So a lot of these feelings, come from trying to match the knowledge of some third party who has no match of your knowledge in your space. So like, I just don't look at things that way.
Yeah.
I know I have things that I'm good at. I know there are things I'm not good at. I don't try to match someone in another area, but I'm confident in what I bring to the table.
But there are moments where even the things that I know I'm good at, I question those things. I question the value of those things. And I think a lot of people struggle with that.
But like, it's not your decision.
I'm not saying that out of those 10 things, I'm going to know all 10 things. I'm going to know 100% of what's being said. I may know 75%, or I may bring that 25% that is a gap.
But you're saying you question the value of it. That's not your decision to make.
I'm
the
not
person
questioning
who invited
the value.
You.
I'm questioning my, even that, I'm questioning my understanding, my knowledge, and my, and the value that that brings to the whole.
If you don't think you're good enough, you're essentially saying someone made a mistake or you lied your way into the seat. I know I didn't lie. So if you know you didn't lie, then you have to trust that the people around you actually see the value that you will develop over time.
Mm-hmm.
Correct, you're not good enough today. That's what I would tell you. If I'm putting you in a work situation mm-hmm. where you're like, oh my God, I'm nervous, I can't do this, mm-hmm. I would tell that person, you have the ability to do this in a while and I'm gonna help you accomplish that. Mm-hmm. You're right, so chill out. It's okay. Mm-hmm. You're not good enough today. Perfect. I didn't ask you to be.
I think that's one of the things that makes you a good mentor. I think that that is a very important person to have in your corner when you're coming at something and you're a little insecure about it.
So maybe you ask. Maybe if you feel that way, you should reach out to somebody mm-hmm. and say, am I here because you think in time I can do this, or am I here because you think I can do this today? Because if it's the first one, I'm going to need your help.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll find your setting. If you're lying about your skill set, then I can't help you. You are not good enough.
Right. And then there's also this, for people that are struggling with just that internal voice, I think that there's part of it is being kind to yourself. You know, I've talked about this analogy of like, here's the thought, and you put the thought in your hand and you just look at the thought and you say, okay, I see you. I'm giving you the value. I'm showing you that I accept that you're there, and now I'm putting you down. And I feel that that's a very valuable exercise in seeing a thought, understanding the thought, embracing the thought, and then letting it go. And you may not necessarily use that tool, but for somebody that struggles with that internal monologue, that might be a tool that could help them. Because so before the pandemic, it was late 2019 when I was starting to think about going back to work. I remember joining this roundtable discussion with women who wanted to go back to the workplace, but were afraid to go back after being, it was a panel or some sort of a discussion that was literally created for.
You were speaking on it?
No.
You were attending?
I was just attending, like some sort of an event that was hosted by a woman in business. I can't remember. It was so long ago, but she held this discussion for women who had stopped working and were trying to transition back from the home to the workspace and just didn't know how to enter, didn't know what skill set they had to lean on, didn't know. They all felt like, even though they were may have been going back into their world, they were still not yet comfortable because they had taken so many years off. So they all were feeling that the whole conversation was about imposter syndrome. And it really sat with me because it made me realize that I was not alone in those feelings. I was not defined by the role that I had played for the last 3 years or 4 years or 5 years. I was defined by so much more, the entirety of my experiences. But somehow you tend to say, oh, but I'm only good at this, so I can't do this. No, we all feel that way. We all feel that in some sense at some point in our lives. And for somebody like you who's very logical, you're able to overcome that by saying, no, you're here because you deserve it. For somebody that's a little bit more on the emotional side like me, you might need a reminder. You might need to stop and say, oh, I see you. Okay, you're trying to freak me out now. I'm going to put you down.
You have like gremlins running around the floor all day?
No.
Like how many of the, imagine they're actually there. Like thing one, thing two. How many are there?
I don't know.
You like vacuum before you go to sleep? How do you do? So you're freaking out. You're going to say, I'm going to stop and imagine a gremlin and throw him on the floor. And you want my logical brain to digest this and tell you, oh, I get it. Yeah, I'm going to do that next time in a meeting. Hey, guys, hold on a second. Susan, wait. I'm going to put this. Shut the. Get out of here. And throw him on the floor. I'm going to try. I don't have those sorts of intrusive thoughts. Okay. The things that come out of my head are very different. They are, there's just as many thoughts in my head, yeah. But lucky is not a good word to use given what happens in my head, but it's not thoughts of like, oh, I shouldn't be in this room.
Right.
It's imagine Joe and Susan were juggling knives at each other in the room. I wonder what they did on their first, those are the kind of conversations that happen in my head that actually factually make me incompetent in that moment. But not because I'm incompetent, but because of the thoughts in my head at that moment in time.
You do you, man.
Yeah.
Whatever floats your boat.
You want to talk to your gremlins, you talk to your gremlins. I'm going to imagine Joe wearing Susan's knickers.
So you tell us what works for you. You guys put your comments below and let us know if you have felt this. Let's have an open discussion.
Go to work wearing your husband's underwear. See how that works. You want to borrow my boxers?
No, thanks.
Just wear them. Go out. See what happens.
I'm curious to know if more men feel like you or more
confident in panties. You should have to do that.
No.
Yeah.
Why?
If you have too many intrusive thoughts, you have to change your underwear. Okay. It's something wrong. You're just uncomfortable. That's what it is.
Okay, you try it. You start first.
I'm fine. That's why I'm going to keep exactly. You should borrow my underwear.
But I would like
underwear.
You to just run a test for the rest of us.
To borrow your underwear and see what happens?
I'll get you something
Imagine
nice.
I'm even more confident.
Oh my God.
That would be amazing.
It would. You should try it.
Okay.
Try it and come back to us
boxers?
Next week. No, I have nice lace. Underwear that I'm gonna get you.
How would you wear that though?
I'm gonna
Is
get
Is there
it
enough
for
like
yes.
packaging space?
Who knows?
We can try.
Okay,
I
you
have
try.
A meeting next week.
You're gonna wear it to the meeting?
But I feel like I'm only gonna be able to speak with a British accent if I'm wearing lace panties.
Like how?
Sheener.
Why's your voice up here?
Because it's yours, it'll probably be tight.
Oh, man.
Sheena, can you run back slide 4? Our profit's up 22%, you said. Oh, my.
Okay, so that's your homework. You're going to...
Get out of here.
Put it down.
Get out of here.
So you do that, and in the meanwhile, the rest of you can tell us what experiences are. And you can tell us if you have other strategies. I think recognizing... that other people go through this is
just
very...
Just borrow someone's underwear and try.
Try. Definitely try. See if that helps. Knicker Borrowing swap. Your spouse's underwear
A coworker.
Or just go out... A coworker.
Yeah, be like, hey...
You seem confident.
Laura,
give me your
you're
underwear.
Very confident. Let's trade for next meeting.
I think that is a problem
HR
waiting
approved.
To happen. No,
just,
HR is like
just,
a
look,
logistical nightmare for
just
HR.
Just email... Everyone on your floor, not the whole office. That's a little bit excessive.
Okay.
Email everyone on your floor and say, hey, if there's anyone who feels very confident, I'd like to exchange underwear with you because I have a meeting at 4:00 and I'd like to feel some of that confidence.
Okay.
I think that'll go across very well.
Okay.
I think you might win, you'll get a call from HR. You'll have a nice conversation.
Yep.
They'll motivate you to
leave.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? But you don't know without trying.
Okay.
Ask the HR person if they would like to swap with you.
Okay, they'll walk you out.
No, to the bathroom to trade. Oh. Look, we're not talking about anything, we're not talking about relationships or anything adult.
Right. Right.
Just changing of a pair of pants,
for
but from the inside.
For confidence boost.
Confidence.
Or lack thereof, I don't
so
know.
So you go to a Taylor Swift concert.
Yeah.
You trade bracelets.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, just a little more intimate with friends.
Not hygienic. Please don't do
Trading
this.
Trading bracelets?
Underwear.
Okay, fine. Since you're being like that.
Like what?
Everyone wear 2 pairs of underwear.
Okay.
So then you can trade a pair with a friend.
No.
They'll be clean.
Nope.
I'm giving you so many wonderful
you
strategies.
Just, you start
to deal
first.
With this.
I'm going to give you a pair. You're going to take them and you're going to wear them to your meeting next week and you see if it changes your confidence levels or your logical brain or anything.
Okay.
And then for the rest of us,
yeah,
we're gonna just back. Yep, you we're just gonna wait here patiently.
Oh dear. Just the thought of this is getting me nervous.
And the rest of us, we could talk about other other ways, other tools, and
what are the tools? You have tools?
I gave you my tool of talking to
talk
to the guy in your hand, the thought in your hand.
Your move is talk to the hand because the face ain't listening.
The other one was really helpful today, talking to this woman, this very kind lady, and hearing that she was going through or feeling similar things. Maybe not in that moment, but she had felt similar things. And she just kind of, having somebody that's a little further along, I think, and can act as a mentor, that's really, really helpful too. And then just being kind to yourself.
That's not a strategy.
Of course it is.
Being kind to yourself as a strategy?
100%.
Why would you be that way all the time?
We have this negative self-talk, like, oh, I knew I was not good enough, or there you go again. Like, you have to just be...
Is that who you talk to and throw on the floor? No. No, really, if you have that thought in your head, who do you throw on the floor?
No, I don't have a thought that I'm talking to. I acknowledge the thought, and I just put my palm out so that I can, like, have a space.
So the thought that says you're not good enough... That's the one you throw on the floor?
Okay.
I'm asking.
Whatever that thought is that exists.
Yeah. So you're in a meeting.
Yeah.
And a thought comes up. You're like, oh, why are you even here?
Yeah. I don't put my hand up.
So what do you
do? In the meeting, I just acknowledge that that thought is there.
You look to the side of your head. How do you do it? You just looked and you did this. So give proper techniques.
Today, when I was feeling that,
yeah,
I didn't put my hand out. I didn't look anywhere.
You could do it under the table.
I just acknowledged it. And I said, okay, there's something. There's definitely something that I'm feeling.
Has that been the cheese from lunch? No. Because I know sometimes how you're feeling when the cheese from lunch. You're getting things out, but it's not thoughts and imagination in your hand.
No.
I want to know, like, if I can look around a room, if I see people doing this, I'm going to be like, okay, hey, I can either hype them up or, you know, I'd be like, hey, you want to borrow my extra boxers? They're in my office.
That's not good. You're going to get fired.
No, extra in the office.
You cannot offer people your boxers. Back. It's not okay.
I don't know. People are just way too serious these days. What's wrong with a couple of colleagues swapping undies at the office, man?
Leave a
comment if you want to swap undies with your colleague at the office.
We gotta go. We'll see you guys.
Undie swap.
Next time.
Do you have a song about people trading undies?
Strangers in the night. Da, da,
da, da, exchanging. Da, 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 da. It's strangers in the night.
No.
Exchanging.
Panties?
Yeah. No. Sing it. That's the lyrics. And they're strangers. I'm saying with coworkers.
No.
I'm telling you the lyrics. No. Strangers in the night, exchanging panties. Oh, what a delight. Can you sing it?
Strangers in the night.
Oh, what yeah.
Exchanging panties.
Oh, what a delight.
Oh, what a delight.
I'm so excited. Just sing it. Sing the song. That's the lyrics. It's such a classic. We're done. I can't believe you're not going to sing the classic song.
Goodbye, everyone. See you next week.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.